this coming Friday at the State Theater at 7:30. It's the return of Rocky Colavito, a night featuring the all-time great Cleveland Indians player, and we are fortunate enough to have Rocky Colavito on the hotline with us right now. Rocky, thank you so much for the time today for joining us. How are you?
I'm just fine, Andy. It's a pleasure to be on with you. And
do we have Rocky? Is he there?
Whatever you want to know, I'll do the best I can.
Rocky, we appreciate the time. I want to get in to a wide variety of different topics here, but I want to start with this. We are now at the 60th anniversary, just past the 60th anniversary of your four home run game. Can you describe this day for us? Because as I understand it, you were actually in the midst of a little bit of a slump going into this game.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, the beat writer at the time was Harry Jones for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, who later became a television commentator who I worked with a little later on. But Harry was hanging around the batting cage, and I was standing there waiting for my turn, and he said to me, "Hey, Rocky," so "when are you going to come out of the slump?" And I looked at him because I never used that word, and I said, "What slump?" And he said, "Oh," I said, "come on." So you know what I mean. I said, "I don't use that word, Harry." I said, "You never know. It might just be tonight." And I actually said that to him. And I was 3-28 going into the game. So I wasn't doing too well.
Wow. So you break out of a 3-28 funk by hitting four home runs. Do you remember each at-bat vividly? Do you remember the pitches that were thrown to you when you hit those home runs?
Vividly. Some people have misprinted some of the things. The first time up, I walked. Second time, this was off Jerry Walker. They had the Kitty Corps, they called him, in Baltimore. And they had a real fine pitching staff. Young. The first time up I walked, as I said, and the second time up, I hit this towering ball down the left field line. And I knew it was a home run if it stayed fair. So I just stayed at home plate and watched it. And it was no use running because I knew it was out of the ballpark. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't get that I got an even keel, and I saw it, and once I knew it was fair, I trotted around the bases. That was a fastball. Second time up, Arnold Porter Carrero, who was also from New York, like I was at the time, I knew Arnie, and he threw me a slider. Actually, the pitch these two next two times up, they weren't home run pitches, so to speak. You know, like a fastball down the middle, a fastball up a little, you know. They were sliders. And both times up, the second and the third home run were sliders on the outside corner. And, you know, when all of a sudden things went well, I mean, I was popping balls up before that were good balls to hit. But all of a sudden it turned around, and I hit both of those balls over the left center field fence, line drives. And they were, of course, both home runs. And there was a fan. I should add this. A lot of people heard about that. When I made a catch, and I was playing right field, going towards the line, and it was a decent catch. You know, I don't want to say it was outstanding or like that. But little Albie Pearson, who was a little guy, maybe 5'5", outfielder for the Baltimore Orioles, they hit this line drive. I come running towards the line, and just as I crossed the line, I caught the ball. And a fan threw a cup of beer right in my face. Well,
wow.
I tell you what, I was livid. We exchanged some real barbs, you know, and I said to him, I challenged him to be at the clubhouse door at the end of the game. I said, and we'll settle this. And now when I hit my third home run, this guy is applauding me. And I'm saying to myself, this guy's a screwball, you know? And then I come up and I hit the fourth home run, which was off Ernie Johnson. His son does the basketball. I'm sure a lot of sports fans know him. And his he was the reliever. He was what they call today the closer. Now, Ernie Johnson said, I'll show you this come back to me later. He said, I'll show you how to get this guy out. The first pitch he threw me was right under my chin. It was up and tight. And usually when you get one up and in, they go down and away. But I wasn't looking at that. I was looking ball, looking for the ball. The next pitch was a fastball, and it was up, and it was a little in, but it was a strike. And I hit that one as good as any of them. I hit it a good ways up the bleacher wall, over the bleacher wall. And that was my fourth home run. By the way, when I came out to the right field position after that, this guy's giving me a standing ovation. So that's so how I got it. Fastball, two sliders, fastball. I read where some people think I hit all breaking balls. That's not true.
So you went from exchanging pleasantries with this guy after he spilled beer on you, chasing after a fly ball in right field, to him actually applauding you. Now, my guess is he probably wasn't going to answer your invitation to meet him in the clubhouse after the game anyways, but I think the second he heard that challenge, he figured, I better get on Rocky's good side. But it amazes me, because if that had happened today, that guy would have been kicked out of the game instantly. But why in the world would they have let him stick around after he threw beer at you?
Yeah, I never understood that either, but, you know, in those days, they didn't have that many security walking around the bleachers, you know. Security was mostly around where the grandstands were or the boxes were, and actually, the bleacher would have been a little better place, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, to pass by. Like, sure. I didn't even see a security guy.
Wow.
He could have been
amazing.
There, but I didn't.
It's amazing how times have changed. I mean, you talk about the way the game is looked at today. I mean, there are officers, it seems like, every 4 or 5 feet, but they're most definitely needed. Rocky, you're coming back here this weekend. Of course, you mentioned the event on Friday at the State Theater. You love this city. You've gone on record many, many times. You've talked about just how much you love playing in Cleveland and living in Cleveland. What is it about the city that you love so much?
Oh, the biggest thing is how friendly and welcoming the fans were to me. You know, when I first came up, if I made out with bases loaded, and of course everybody does, and they never booed me then. You know, once I established myself, you know, I had a 58 season where I had 41 home runs and 100 some runs rather than, once I established that kind of a career stats, then maybe if I struck out with the bases loaded, they might boo you a little bit. But they were disappointed, and I understood that. It never bothered me that much. I really didn't. Nobody likes to be booed, don't get me wrong. But at the same token, if they were disappointed, just imagine how I felt. I mean, I was disappointed. I wanted to hit the ball hard and somewhere every time. So I love the fans. I love the friendliness of the town and all the people in it. They were terrific to me. And I love Cleveland. I always will.
Again, we're speaking with iconic Indian slugger Rocky Colavito. He's joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Rocky will actually be in town this Friday at the KeyBank State Theater at 7:30. Also talking about the new book, Rocky Colavito, Cleveland's Iconic Slugger. And, you know, one of the things that's discussed in the book also is your relationship with Herb Score. Now, a lot of folks certainly know that he pitched, but a lot of people around the area know him because of all of his years as the Indians radio play-by-play broadcaster. Rocky, you had a terrific relationship with Herb Score. What made that bond so special between the two of you?
Well, I'll tell you what. Herb Score was more like a brother to me than a roommate or a friend. We roomed together for at least a piece or all of on the road and off the road for 7 straight years. So you get to know somebody pretty well in that time frame. And he just, you know, his wife, we were talking about it one time in Florida. We went down to visit them. And his wife could not believe that we never had one harsh word in all those years. Not one. Not one eye. We didn't always see eye to eye and didn't always agree. but we respected one another's opinion, and it just was a terrific relationship. So again, I repeat, Herb Stork was not only a great pitcher, he was a great friend and more like a brother.
Very, very interesting stuff. And I think when, you know, we always talk with the great Joe Tate about his time with Herb Score and, you know, all the games that he and Herb Score called together. He always recalled Herb's incredible baseball acumen and his knowledge. He always said Herb could have actually gone on and had a great career as a general manager if he wanted to. Did you see the same kinds of things in Herb Score in your time with him as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I always thought that he could do just about anything he wanted in baseball. That was my opinion. He was a smart guy. And he knew how to handle people, and he got along with people. So I always thought he could do just about, again, I repeat, just about anything he wanted in the baseball field.
Rocky, anytime your name gets brought up in Cleveland, you know, we hear a lot of different things. We hear about the curse. We hear about the trade. And I know the trade is something that certainly still looms large anytime you ask a Cleveland Indians fan. Can you take us back through the time of the trade, how you found out, where you were when you found out all this was going on and that you were going to be traded?
Oh, yeah, that's easy. You want me to go through the scenario?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, we're playing in Memphis, Tennessee. It was the day before, it was the last day of the spring training exhibition season. We were playing the White Sox. And the first time up, I hit a home run. I finally, which is unusual to me, had a decent spring. I'd hit some home runs, I felt good, and I always wanted to feel that real good feeling at the plate when the exhibition games were over, and I had it that time. I hit a home run first time up, and the second time up, I hit a ball very well, got a handcuff the third baseman, and he knocked it down, but he picked it up and he forced the runner that was on first at second, but didn't get me at first. Okay, I was safe. And I'm standing on the base, and I look towards the dugout, and here comes Joe Gordon, who was then the manager. And he's walking right towards me. And I said, oh, boy. I said, you know, I like that idea because we dressed at the hotel. They didn't have any hot water at the ballpark. They didn't have the facility ready for really a ball game, even though it was a minor league team. We all dressed at the hotel. And anyway, he's walking towards me, and he says to me, when he gets to me, he said, Rocky, he said, that's the last time you'll hit in a Cleveland uniform, which he was wrong. And then he said, I want to wish you all the luck in the world. And only thing I said to him, he said, good luck to you. And I said, the same to you. And it's all I could think of saying because it was total shock. And my roommate, who was Herb Score, was sitting against the light tower poles, which were on the field a little past first base. And he was sitting there with Johnny Flipstein, our reliever. And I went past him, and I said, hey, roomie, I said, I'll see you back at the hotel. I said, I just got traded to Detroit for Harvey Keene. And he looked at me, he said, come on, he said. Don't talk like that. He said, you know, I said, you upset everything. I said, no, I said, it's the truth. I said, they just told me on the field. And he said, again, he repeated about at least two or three more times not to make up stuff like that, you know. But I was telling him the truth. I said, okay, man, I can't convince you, so I'll see you back at the hotel. And sure as hell, I went back to the hotel. I caught a cab, went back to the hotel. And by the time he came, I was out of the shower, and he had that sad look on his face. And he said, I guess you know, right? He said, yeah, you're right. And you could tell he was disappointed as hell. And then he gets traded the next day.
Yeah, that whole thing is crazy. How Herb gets dealt the next day, too. It's just so strange looking back on that, how that all went down. Again, Rocky Colavito, Cleveland's iconic slugger, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. The book is available, Rocky Colavito, Cleveland's iconic slugger. We had Mark Sommer, the author of the book, with us about 2 weeks back. And, of course, they're both going to be at the KeyBank State Theater this Friday at 7:30. Bob DiBiasio, Tribe's VP for Public Affairs, will be there. The iconic Indians bleacher drummer, John Adams, is also going to be there. Rocky, one more question before we let you go here. You know, just kind of curious as to how much baseball you watch these days, and are there any particular favorite players that you have in today's game?
Well, I do have a couple. I follow the Indians as much as I can, which doesn't allow you really a whole lot of coverage. But I like, of course, I pull for the Indians all the way, okay? And I like Francisco Lindor. I like that kid. I like his attitude. And I also like Kluber. I think he's an outstanding pitcher. And but I think those two guys of the current team are my favorites on Cleveland. So, but like I said, I don't get a chance to really see them a whole lot. But I do once in a while. Especially if Kluber's pitching. They usually easy duty game.
In your prime, Rocky, how well do you think you could do against Corey Kluber?
I wouldn't like to say. I don't know. You know, he would try to get me out, I'm sure, and I would certainly try to hit the ball as hard as I could off him. So, that's a tough question. It really is, you know, because one never knows. You know, some pitchers, when you ever play, you see real well. You can pick the ball up real well. And some, even though they might not be a big winner, you know, but you don't pick the ball up good from them. And so it's hard to tell. I would have to face them and tell.
Good stuff. Well, Rocky, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. And, of course, we hope that a lot of folks were able to come out and see you on Friday at the KeyBank State Theater. That should be a heck of a lot of fun. Rocky, this was a blast for us. Thank you for joining us here today. We look forward to seeing you on Friday night.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you and all the people that come, and I appreciate their loyalty and a chance to meet all the people that are going to come out there. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Rocky. Again, Cleveland's iconic slugger, Rocky Colavito. That was a lot of fun. Don't forget the book is available, Rocky Colavito, Cleveland's iconic slugger. And also tickets are still available for this Friday, July 5th, 7:30 at the KeyBank State Theater. Bob DiBiasio will be there. He's the moderator. John Adams, Indians drummer, will be down there as well. Mark Sommer, the author of the book, Rocky Colavito, Cleveland's iconic slugger. But, of course, the headliner himself is The Rock. This is the real Rock. Long before this Dwayne Johnson character came around,